What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away? Or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play? Or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
And here we go. Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing outstanding. You know, our contributions to the Five Reasons Sports Network for the Miami Heat have gone swimmingly. The fan base loves everything that's going on in Miami, as well as our performances on Playback. So, here's to you, Miami Heat fans. No, I'm excited to talk NBA draft prospects, man. We're in March. March Madness is in full swing. The quality of college basketball games over the last 2 days has been nothing short of outstanding. So I'm really excited to dive in to this. Real quick, before we get started, tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At MPH_A24_ on Twitter. You could find me at hotonhoops.com, MountainWestConnection.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com. The Mountain West Tournament does start next week for everyone who wants to watch or even cares to watch. That does start next week. But we are not talking about that today. So
there's that Nevada bias that we've all come to know and love from one Matt Hanifin. Thank you for getting that in.
Nevada's not very good. They're mid. So
no,
they're not going to win. They're not going to go dancing in any capacity. They'd be so cool though.
But that Donovan Dent,
win the Mountain West tournament.
That Donovan Dent.
Donovan Dent. We talked about him last time.
Yeah.
Or at least we touched on him a little bit.
Well, probably. We gave him a little shine. A little bit of shine.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And he literally,
rightfully
right
so,
he very much proved me right. For at least a one game sample on Tuesday.
Yeah, I like it, man. Rightfully so. Take your flowers, take your lap. But what we are talking about today, we are talking about the top 10 bigs in the 2025 NBA draft that you should know. And we're ranking them in terms of what we think, me and Matt Hanifin, not what a GM thinks, not what the other experts may think, but what we think. And that's typically how we like to operate around here. Before we get into that, don't forget to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. You can definitely chat with us. Very interactive. I'm always keeping an eye out on our chat, as well as at playback.tv/hoopsprofile, where we're recording this. You'll notice that a banner randomly pops up on your YouTube screen with a QR code to join our playback room. So if you haven't joined our playback room, use that QR code and come on down and be in the audience for our show. But anyway, where would you like to start, Matt? Let's go right to the top. Who's your number one big that people should know in the 2025 NBA draft?
Let me just preface by saying, I told you this before, this was a very hard list for me to create, just because like there's some of these guys who I have like lumped together in like
right.
tiers kind of.
Right.
And like you could talk me you could talk me into most of these players in being in between a few different spots. But right. my number one big is Ace Newell.
Ooh, controversial. I like it. Talk to me about that. Why do you have Ace Newell as your number one big?
I think one of the most like nimble mobile bigs in this class. That's something that I like. His motor's off the charts. I think for his size, he's an elite offensive rebounder. Right. I know the shot has been a question for most throughout this year. And I understand that. I think he's in that Georgia team is a team that's not very well spaced. He also plays alongside, I don't remember the guy's name, but he also plays alongside another big.
Is it Crawford? Something like that.
Yeah. He also, and the spacing's a bit compromised there too. And so I think that's helped him to an extent because I think it's helped him try to expand his range a little bit more. I was looking at some of the numbers before we hopped on. Last seven games, shooting 36% from three on 3.5 attempts. I think that's come a long way. He's shooting around, 70 to 75%.
It's not a knuckleball anymore.
Yeah.
It has backspin now.
Yeah. Like, he's a very fluid mover. I think with him, like, obviously he's going to have to get stronger.
Right.
I think that's like a must. I think he will over time. I think that was something that we were saying at the very beginning of the year. But I like the ingredients that are there relative to some of these other bigs, not to say that these other bigs are back again. Like, he's lumped with a couple of guys that I have, you know, following him.
Right.
I think he's scheme versatile. Like, I think in a perfect world within a couple of years, he'll be able to play both drop and switch effectively.
Yeah.
At the next level. And I think, again, I just think that shot's going to improve. Something that I like about him when I watch him is his playmaking. Like, considering he plays with another big, they do a lot of high-low stuff.
They do a lot of that, yes.
And so, like, that's something where, like, yeah, I think he'll be more of like a rim runner, screen and roll type threat. But I think just him making having to make those decisions,
right?
Especially like in that nail area, like, I think that will help him if like he has to become like a short roll guy. Obviously, again, you want to just. I think he has the motor. He has all of the little like intangible stuff.
Right.
He's improved as the years gone on in multiple areas. And so I think just that alone, I wish the team was better. They're not, I think they're on the bubble right now. And so we're not going to be able to see him in like tournament games. I don't think, or at least I'd have to look at
I think it's still not decided. I think they still have an opportunity, but they're going to have to really show up during the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I'll have to look and see what the bracket matrix says just based like for current projections, but I don't think they're a tournament team right now. I could be wrong. Right. But I do love what Ace has done this year despite the context that he's in and him being super young.
So he's
my number one pick.
Let me say this real quick to the audience. We're not taking guys that are going to project as wing players as bigs in this scenario. Like, Rashear Fleming isn't going to be in this mix. He's a wing at the next level. So we're not even going to go there. But Ace Newell as your number one pick, I'm not mad at it, especially with the ceiling that he has. 6'10", 205. He's only 19 years old. What he's doing in the SEC. What was really intriguing about Newell for me is how he stood up to Janiah Broom whenever they played head-to-head. You have strobe lights going on. What was happening?
Oh, so that's my TV iPod. Let me
that's okay. I'm like, what is happening to your face, dude? You're like getting flashed with strobe lights.
I had spring training on the background, so that's my fault.
All good, dude. All good. But yeah, I mean, six and a half rebounds per game, one block, one steal. I really like what he does, man. But I got somebody different for my number one. My number one is actually injured currently. And Thomas Sorber. Thomas Sorber to me is the best big in this entire class. What he was doing on that Georgetown team, he was the engine that drove that team. He was the reason why they won. He did absolutely everything for that, him and Peavy for that Georgia team. Mm-hmm. And Sorber, for being as young as he is, he already had grown man strength. He may not be as tall as like Kamon Malawach or Danny Wolfe or these guys, but he played just as big as either one of those guys. And once he started getting acclimated to how strong he actually was, and he realized that he was that much, you know, stronger than the rest of the people he was playing against, he was just an unstoppable force for Georgetown. At 19 mm-hmm. years old, I just think he has a rare ability around the basket, not only to finish his footwork, but that strength is something you just can't teach, because he's going to fill out. He's going to get stronger as you go along. His shooting, I mean, I know it says he's only 16% on the year from three, but I think he's going to be a much better three-point shooter than that in the league. He's a willing mm-hmm. three-point shooter as well. And his free throw percentage, 73%, tells you he's going to be better than that. He also rebounds the ball better than Asa Newell at 8.5 yeah. rebounds per game. He facilitates better, 2.5 assists per game, blocks shots better, 2 blocks per game, even averages more steals per game. I think he is the best big in this entire class. With that being said, Asa Newell, as possibly my number two player behind him, I could definitely see an argument for that. But Kaman Malawach would be my number two. And here's why.
He's my two as well. But I'm going to spoil it. I have Sorber three. The thing that we talked about off air with the foot injury for being 7 foot, that's
right.
Because I had thought about Sorber for one.
Yeah.
I really did.
It's a great point. So for the audience, let me fill the audience in. Every big that I've evaluated, I've always said if a young big has foot injuries, that's a red flag for their career. Watch out. Like the thing with Chet, I thought Chet was going to be injured his whole career because of that. It's turning out to be true. There's multiple other bigs like Joel Embiid. Same thing. Big men with bad feet, you got to watch out for them. They just, especially the heavier set bigs that carry yeah. a lot of weight, it's just a lot on their joints and on their bones and their structure for carrying that. And it's usually a bad sign when they have bad feet at that such a young age. So yep. that's a great point that you brought up. I'm not letting that hold me back in this scenario.
I get it. No, because I thought about Sorber one.
Right.
But man, I don't know what the foot.
So let me give you my spiel why I think I'd take Malawach over Asa Newell.
Okay.
Malawach is 18 on draft night. He'll be younger than Asa Newell on draft night. Yep. He's 7'2", 250 pounds. And I guarantee you when we go to the measurables, his wingspan is going to be that of a Boeing 747. Like yep. he's going to have enormous wingspan and big hands at that. I also think his 3-point shooting is going to be something he's going to be able to utilize in the NBA that he's not currently really allowed to use at Duke. They don't really let him shoot threes. And I think he yeah. showed in the Olympics that he's got a better 3-point touch than what he's been able to share at Duke. And even though he shoots like 70% from the field, he's really limited in what he can show offensively, because you're not taking touches away from Con Knipple. You're not taking touches away from Cooper Flagg. You're not taking touches away from Tyrese Proctor. He's correct. Like last on the list of people to get offensive post touches or touches in general. So I think there's more upside to Kaman Malawach than what we're going to see. And when you're evaluating, in my opinion, these guys in that fashion, the planet theory, there's only so many of these guys walking around on Earth, 7 foot yeah. two, 250 pounds, that is able to move like Malawach, has the athletic traits of Malawach. I will say, I've said this before on this show, I think Malawach is a little deceiving in terms of athleticism because of how long his arms are. I don't think he's nearly as good vertically as people believe he is. I think his wingspan is what makes him look like a better vertical athlete than what he is. That being said, he's anchoring one of the best defenses in college basketball, blocks shots. I can't pass up on those measurables mixed with that talent.
Yeah, exactly. And to add on to your athleticism point, how it's deceiving, I think it's also deceiving laterally because of how big he is.
Right.
Like he's a better lateral mover than negative. Like I've said it before on here. John Shire's kind of sprinkled in multiple different coverages for Mono Watch throughout the year. Like there'll be times where he'll be in drop. There'll be times where he plays up higher, like toward the level of the screen. There's also times where he'll just switch.
That's true.
And he's shown flashes in literally all of those areas, believe it or not. In addition to like, he's shown like he every once in a while he'll take a three. He either makes it or it goes like way, way, way over the backboard, or like he'll just throw it at the back. Like it's like, okay, like there's some touch there. There's again, that's why we call it flashes of stuff. I think that it'll be better too. He is very limited with his offensive role, but like I love, like you could just throw it anywhere around the rim and he'll just go up and get it. Like he has incredible hands. He really does. And I think Newell all have, I think Malawach and Sorber have better hands than Newell does, but like they all have very, very, very good hands.
So
that's something that that's something that I like about them.
You know, what's the thing that separated Sorber for me, like I said, from all these guys though, his ability to facilitate the 2.5 assists per game, along with blocking all the, he leads them in block shots. He leads them in rebounding. He's the best rebounder out of all three. Like to be able to facilitate, block shots, rebound.
Is he better than Malawach as a rebounder? Like I know the total numbers say so, but Malawach has been insane given the amount of like run he gets as a rebounder. He's corralling 22% of his offensive rebounds in ACC play. That's insane.
I think if Sorber was on a team that had a Cooper Flag that would draw that kind of attention, I think his rebounding numbers would be astronomical.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, everything within a 10-mile radius he's getting.
So even if they're comparable, but that's the same. You could say the same thing for Sorber, though.
Yeah, you can to an extent, yeah.
You could say the same thing for Sorber.
The raw numbers, I don't think, benefit Malawach just because it's like he's only playing 20 minutes a night.
Yeah, but so that's the other thing that's kind of worrisome for me, that he's only playing 20 minutes per night, as where Sorber was playing like 31 and a half, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
One game he played all 40 minutes, which is probably a bad idea in retrospect now to danger.
right. Yeah.
But I love Sorber. I just think he's criminally underrated in terms of this class. But I love Malawach as well. And I do have Asa Newell number 3 on my list because I didn't get to that. So, Matt, you have Asa Newell number 1. You have Sorber number 3. And Malawach number 2, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I just flipped 1 and 3 because of the injury.
All right.
But again, you could talk me into any of these guys being 1. You could talk me into any of these guys being
3. You could not talk me into Derek Queen or Colin Murray Boyle's number 1. You could not.
Well, I meant of the 3 that we just
talked about. Oh, of the 3 you're talking about. Okay.
I was like, no. You taught me into Janai Broome.
Number 1 overall. That's right.
No, I meant just
over Cooper Flag.
Guys, you could talk me into any one of them being 1. You could talk any one of them being 2, 3, whatever.
You know what? I just realized we should have prefaced as well that Cooper Flag isn't a big at the next level.
Oh, no. I thought that went without saying, but for the audience.
I thought it did as well, but now that we started talking about it, I'm like, wait, in college he plays like he plays the big spot? But he's not a big. He's a wing at the
next
level.
Play the big spot?
Him and Malawach, basically, right? They don't have any other big in that starting lineup. It's Malawach, Flag, Knipple, Sion James, and then who's that third guy? Is it Proctor? Well, does he start?
They would. They play like Malik Brown is a big.
I guess, yeah. I guess Malik Brown
off the bench though. Like,
all right, so maybe we don't need
very limited role. But
maybe I need to give the audience more credit for their basketball savvy. I need to get off my high horse. Who do you have number 4? I'm very interested in who you have number 4.
Danny Wolf.
Oh, Danny Wolf.
I have Danny Wolfe for
the 7'250" guard slash center.
It's his skill set's crazy for someone of his size. Like it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, I have him above some of the other guys. He may not have a higher ceiling than the other one, but like you're getting a legit floor of some, like in today's modern NBA. Yeah, a lot of the bigs are still like screen and roll
right
type threats. Yeah, some of them shoot the three ball better than others, but like he's just a weird.
He's got a unicorn skill set for that size. Yeah.
He's very smart. He moves well defensively, like laterally for someone who's 7 foot, 7 foot right. one, however tall he is.
Are you saying that because he went to Yale?
No. I mean, I guess I could have just said yes and moved on. But like, I just think he knows where to be on the floor.
No, he is. He's an incredibly smart basketball player. Incredibly smart.
He'll make live ball reads with both hands fairly easily.
Right.
Like, yeah, the turnovers are a question. I've said it before, he tries to get a little bit too fancy.
Right.
Fine with it. If you're confident in your ability, fine with it. I know it's not going to show up on the stat sheet, but like,
right.
Fine.
And it's not like he's 24 years old. He's still only 21 years old on draft night.
Yeah. And so like, I don't know. I just think you can plug him in to most situations right away and he'll make an impact.
I agree with that. I think he's going to make an impact right away in the NBA. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar or an all pro, but he's going to help whatever team he's on. He's not going to be stuck in the G League. Like he's going to be an impact player immediately. I agree with that.
On both ends.
On both ends of the floor. Both ends of the floor.
And so that's where it's just like, yeah, I think his highs are very high and his lows are pretty low, but I think he has a good floor.
Here's the floor.
Because of his floor and because of his unique skill set, I think that to an extent raises his ceiling.
So, but this is what I was going to say. This is his floor. 9 rebounds per game, right?
Yeah.
2 or 3 assists per game in the pros, a block, block and a half, finish 50% at the rim, maybe give you 35% from three as a spot up shooter. The off the dribble stuff he really needs to work on and stop doing. He really needs to stop doing that till he gets it down. But the spot up shooting, he'll be able to give you that in the pros. That's your floor. If that's your floor, heck yeah, man. Fourth best big in the entire draft.
And I think that floor could even be better from three if it was just spot ups.
Oh, yeah. If it was strictly spot ups, because his off the dribble stuff is horrendous. Correct.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so that's where I'm like, he's such a unique prospect with his ability to handle the ball, play make. Again, I think he's a better defender than like people give him credit for.
I align with you on this.
He shows he can move laterally and he's big enough to where like if you want to play him and drop, he can backpedal and have the size and space to take up that.
You know what's interesting about that? He'll get dropped a couple of times like by guards because he's so big and changing direction. Sometimes he gets butt the floor. Yeah. He doesn't care. He'll still go out there. He'll still guard. And it's not like he's standing 25 feet away from the guy. Like he's within arm's reach to be able to contest shots. That's a unique thing for a guy that's 250 pounds and 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
I'm interested in what his wingspan is going to be. It might not come in as long as we think. But I am interested in what it is.
He has the shoulder width and the mass to take away space at the next level.
Agreed.
And so like, yeah, the wingspan may not be great. He may not take up as much space as someone like Sorber or like Malawach just in general, but like he's got broad shoulders. I think he's, again, like there are times when I watch him where I wish he would finish better around the rim than he does.
Yes. But I got a point on that. He finishes better against bigger players around the rim than he does against smaller players around the
room. Right.
It's so bizarre. Absolutely. It's like he shrinks as he gets closer to smaller players. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. I think it's more of the mindset of like, he knows he's got to go up stronger against some of these like bigger
guys. Yeah.
But I have noticed that too.
Yeah, so here's the reason why you pick him as the fourth best pick, because if he ever figures it out, he's dangerous. He's really dangerous. So like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm all for taking a swing on that type of talent. Number five, I'm going to go with my number five guy that I would have. And
I'm very interested to see who you got. So who do you have for?
I'm with you, aligned with Danny Wolf.
Okay.
I'm aligned with Danny Wolf. Derek Queen would be my number five guy. It would be Derek Queen.
I struggled with five.
But here's why. So Jahni Broom would probably be fifth on my list.
Wow.
Hold on, but I'm going to tell you why. Hold on. And here, well, actually, we're doing big. So Toppin counts as a big?
I think so. I have him on mine.
Okay. So if Toppin counts as a big, Alex Condon counts as a big. I go Derek Queen because he's 20 years old. He's amazingly skilled on offense. Like, very, very skilled offensively. He has traits to be able to defend in space. He can move laterally. He rebounds the ball. I know he doesn't shoot a lick, but he's just so skilled. If you were going to go somebody like JT Toppin, if you were going to go somebody like Jahni Broom, you basically have a limited upside with Broom. Broom's not going to be much different than what he is now. In fact, I don't think Broom's going to translate very well in the NBA, to be honest. I think he's kind of an awkward fit. Ryan Kalkbrenner, nah, he doesn't do it for me. Condon doesn't do it for me either. I think basically I'm taking Derek Queen by default.
That's where I landed at.
So you're taking Queen also?
Yeah, I have Queen as my five, but this was a spot that I struggled with.
Yeah.
Because there's one player in particular that I thought about putting over him for I thought about it for a long time.
Who did you potentially have?
Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Oh! Ryan Kalkbrenner, 25 years old. Wilder.
I know I've had my fair share of jokes about Kalkbrenner. And I know, and the reason why I didn't do it is because Kalkbrenner's like my age. But I think there's something. Dude. I think there's something to be said about a player with such an unbelievably high floor who can perfect the screen and roll at the next level.
And that's definitely do that.
And that's something that he does. And he's an exceptional shot blocker. Like, I don't think I've given him enough flowers just for what he can do defensively. Like, I think his verticality, his ability to finish around the rim.
Yeah.
His screen setting's kind of funny because it's like there are times where he'll set like a really good screen, and then there's other times where
he'll stand straight up and look like a pencil. Like
there's other times where he'll set such an illegal screen that it actually doesn't get called as an illegal screen. It's like that's like an NBA player.
Yeah,
because they don't ever call illegal screens in the NBA.
No, they're moving all the time on screens in the NBA.
Yeah, and so like I think he'll fit well in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brian, again, I've made the joke before that he moves like a 55-year-old on like a speed walk in your neighborhood. Like if you go outside at like 6 a.m., you'll see someone who runs like Ryan Kalkbrenner.
So what you're saying is he's not going to win any foot races in the NBA.
You're correct. But I think he moves like he's not Edie to where like I think he'll have a problem moving in drop. I think he moves better, much better than Edie does. And I also think that like, I don't know, like I don't hate the playmaking. I think he has excellent hands.
Can I give you some stats in a game he had against Sorber in December?
Okay, what is it? This is blind for me.
I don't 10 have points, enough. 4 rebounds, 3 blocks.
There's a reason why we have Sorber in the top 3. But I don't know. I just think there's something to be said. Like, yeah, I know his ceiling's not high at
all. Yeah.
Like, it's just not. I think he'll be at worst or at best, I think he'll be like a decent starting pick.
I don't know if he'll even be a decent starting big. I think he'll be a career backup big.
I don't think he'll be a career backup just because I think some of the stuff that he does, like, I'm not going to say he's going to be like a top 10 big, like top 10 starting big. But like, if he's like,
I think he's like Lopez.
Not even that. I just think like Jonas Valanciunas.
Like
I don't need
Jonas. I don't even think he's going to be as good as Jonas though.
I think he can be, but he shot the ball better on such low volume,
right?
To where like maybe a team can squeeze that out of him. But maybe. I just think like just for what he provides as a baseline,
yeah.
He finishes everything.
You think he could ever be a double-double guy in the NBA?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's interesting.
And I think he'll, at worst, be like a guy who can get you like 2 blocks a game. Or not, at worst, like 1.5. Like, he's a really good shot blocker for someone of his size. It's just that he's old.
He's very old. He's very old.
Like, that's the one thing that's like holding me back from putting him above Derek Queen. Again, it was by default. I don't love any of these guys.
He'll basically be 24 on draft night.
Correct. So maybe I'm being a little bit too bullish on him anyway.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, again, for the role that he can provide.
Well, let me ask, but do you see there's more of a ceiling there? Is there more to his game that he can unlock? Like, do you think the three ball will be a bigger part of his arsenal when he gets to the NBA? Like,
yes, I think it will be. I think his passing will also be more featured. The thing that I want to see that I don't want to see from him that I see from him a lot as much, like, I think he'll have to be better around the short corners and not stay. Like, there are times where he'll just station himself and try to post up.
Right.
Because he's, that big in the lane. And it's like, you can't do that in the NBA.
Right.
Like, you have to be able to navigate the short corners in that baseline well to be a big if you're not going to be like a screen and roll guy and if you're not, screen setting or whatever.
Right.
But I think he can do that. Like, I think if you just, because I think he's like a, I think he'll be able to adjust to that.
So who do you have six?
That's more of like a habitual thing.
Who do you have at number six then?
Kalkbrenner.
I mean, number seven. Sorry.
This one was difficult for me too, because I initially had Murray Boyles, but I put Condon above him.
Interesting. Alex Condon from the University of Florida, 6'11", 230 pounds.
I hated this spot too.
That's a tough spot, man. Colin Murray Boyles. Let me explain something to people about Colin Murray Boyles.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Poyle's last game. He did nothing the entire game. The entire game against Georgia and Ace Newell. He didn't do anything. In the second half, he ended up with basically 24 points on 18 free throws. Now, some would say that's a skill in itself.
Yeah.
That's an anomaly because he only averages, he's only had double digit free throws twice this season. Once was against like a division, what was it, Towson? What division is Towson?
It's their division one, just in a very small conference.
Jesus. Okay. So he had double digit free throws against Towson. He had double digit free throws against Presby. And really, that's it. Arkansas and in Georgia. I guess it's a skill. Is that going to translate? I'm not so sure. He does rebound the ball quite well relative to his size.
He defends well and playmakes well, but
does he playmake well?
Yes.
Mm.
In the short role.
I struggle with him because I haven't seen him playmake against quality competition yet.
Fair.
Like that's really my issue. Like his playmaking shows up against these like bad teams. Now he did have 5 assists against Georgia. I don't know. He's such a tough evaluation for me, especially relative to the hype you hear about him. Like, I don't see it, dude.
I don't get it either. Again, I've told you this. You and I agree with, to I think some extent on this. I'd feel so much better about him if he was like 6'9".
Oh yeah, 6'9", 6'10". Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I would feel astronomically better about him if he was that, but he's not. So,
Towson is in Baltimore. Steven says, Steven Fine, again, a regular on the show in the chat, says Condon out of Florida is a good center. I think he's a good center as well. I have concerns about his strength. I think he gets bullied a lot. He's an excellent facilitator, especially out of the short role in the mid post. Good 3-point shot, great footwork. I just think he's weak. Dirty Dancer, toughest draft cycle in a long time to fall in love with anyone outside of the top 5 or 6. I don't know about that, Dirty Dancer. I like a lot of guys in this draft.
They're just all young, and so they all have flaws.
Correct. So. They're all very, very young. But I like a lot of guys in this draft.
Me too.
He said, I kind of like Henry Vassar as a sleeper. First time I've actually even seen his name. Henry Vassar. Dirty Dancer, tell me about Henry Vassar.
But no, yeah. So I had Condon 7. I love his motor. Like, I think, and I love his motor. I think he moves very well.
Yeah.
They use modern concepts. Like the more I hone in on them, the more I watch. Like they do a lot of horns. They do a lot of DHO, Chicago action. Like that stuff that they do. And like I think he's one of the. I put this in our off the floor Discord. I think he has one of the best. He's one of the better processing bigs in this class. Like when he sees something, he's very quick to react and play make.
I definitely agree with that.
And so that's something that I think will translate well to the NBA level. And that goes like hand in hand with like the playmaking stuff. You and I talked about this off here. I think I'm a little bit higher on his strength and his physicality than like he'll obviously have to get stronger.
Yeah.
Like regardless of how you feel about it. And you could say this about multiple of these guys in this class for every position. But in the games that I have watched, which I'm not going to say it's been a lot, it hasn't, of Condon, he hasn't gotten like bullied, but I find it
hard to believe that you've watched a game and he hasn't been bullied because he struggles anytime he gets physicality. He just gets stymied, like completely stood up and stops. I find it hard to believe, Matt.
I haven't seen it.
I like Condon. I agree with you. The footwork, the processing, the passing ability, the shooting, physicality stuff. I'm telling you, man, he's soft.
I'm not saying he's a like an uber physical player, but I don't think he's soft.
He gets stopped, stood up, like nowhere to go. Like he doesn't have any bump to make space for himself down there. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen.
I don't
think
he's soft, though. I think
I want you to find me a clip of him turning, creating space and going up. It doesn't happen. He just gets walled off and he has to retreat or pass back out. He's not. I get it. Maybe you missed it. Well, I could be wrong too. I think
saying he's soft though is like a negative. Like I don't think he has the mentality.
I know. I got to be better with my words.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. I don't think he has the mentality of someone who's soft.
He's not soft in the way of that. I guess people would take it as a negative. I'm just saying he's not creating space. How's that?
That's fine. That's fine. Like I'm not saying he's like an uber physical big, but like I'm saying like he's not soft. Like you know, like
I got not, you. I got. He's not backing down, is what you're saying. He's not backing down.
I don't think that at all. I would 100% disagree with that. I don't think that's what you're saying.
No, it's not. I'm just saying that when he meets physicality down low, he doesn't create space. He retreats. That's basically how I feel about Alex Condon. But I like that's what fair. I saw of him. I did get to watch a lot of Clayton, recently as well. I got interesting thoughts on him for another podcast. What's his name? Is it Walter Clayton? Will Clayton?
Yeah, Walter Clayton. Jr.
Walter Clayton. Yeah, that's it. So I got thoughts on him. He reminds me a lot of Poulin. He really does. And it's funny that they're teammates, but he reminds me a lot of Poulin. All right. So let's talk about this. So JT Toppin is 6'9", 225 pounds. Alex Condon is 6'11", 230 pounds.
Yeah.
So the physicality and the lack of strength is kind of why I'm so low on Condon. And I think I got Condon going bottom first, late first, early second round. That's kind of where I have Condon going. I would pick personally myself Condon over Kalkbrenner, especially because of the upside.
Fair.
I would definitely have him over Kalkbrenner. JT Toppin is very difficult for me because in the NBA, he's going to have a big problem generating any offense outside of just short roll stuff, going to get it off the glass because he only goes over that right shoulder and scores with his left hand. It's literally the only move he has.
Correct.
So, you know, Toppin's going to be one of those guys that's going to do well in summer league because he plays his butt off all the time, super hard. People are going to be like, oh my God, they missed out on a superstar. He scores all the time. And then he's going to get on a scouting report and they're going to like take away his left and he's not going to be able to do anything.
That was my biggest concern. And that's been that has been my biggest concern. And that will continue to be my biggest concern with JT Toppin. I love him to death just because of the motor, just because of how scheme versatile I think he is defensively.
Right.
He's flat again. He flashed the 3-point shot in combine. He hasn't done it at all in college at New Mexico or Texas Tech,
where you think he would have the leeway to do so considering he's like the best player on the team.
Correct. And I don't know if I don't know if that's a coach thing.
Let me ask you something. Do you think any of these international guys we know nothing about, they're going to sneak up and be higher picked than what we think?
Sure. Because
that happens every year, right?
Yeah, it does.
Like Rocco Zakarski. Like he could possibly be picked higher than we think. Joan Behringer.
Yeah.
Did he not play in Sniper? No, that's Tom Behringer. Sorry. who else? That's about... I'm over Almanza. I was over Almanza last year, like when people were hyping Almanza up as being a pick. I'm out on him. I'm out on Brazil. I'm way out on Coleman Hawkins.
Are we sure Brazil's even a big?
He's definitely a big, but he's not very effective.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
I'm all the way out on Brazil. Eric Dixon's hilarious, dude. He's going to get on somebody's summer league team and he's going to put up like 40 points.
I know someone who was at his game the other day. Someone else I work with, and he was telling me, he was like, I'm in the middle of watching Eric, like having the worst game of his life right now. Like, he's high on people's radars, but like, this is awful.
You think Kalkbrenner's old?
Yeah.
He's older than Kalkbrenner.
Yeah.
He's been in college forever.
Yeah. He's been in college forever.
All right. But I'm going to give you a name that I have higher than Condon and Kalkbrenner.
I know who you're going to say.
Do you?
Yes.
Who?
Renaud.
That's it. Maxim Renaud.
I thought about putting him on this list. I don't have him on.
I'm going to give you the reason why. His ability to shoot the three ball and the willingness to shoot the three ball translates really well. He's only shooting 34%, but I think there's more meat on that bone. I think he moves extremely well. I think he has some of the same limitations that Condon has, such as the physicality and not being strong enough. But he's also only 22 years old. So there's still room for him to put more weight on, to be better. I think that he has the ability to block shots. He rebounds the ball extremely well. I think there's more facilitating chops for him to show in the league. I think he's going to be a better player than people are giving him credit for. So I would go Renaud, I would go Condon, and then I would go JT Toppin, Kalkbrenner.
For your 6 through 10?
Correct.
Or 7 through 10?
Correct. Kalkbrenner would be my 10th. Because he's 700 years old. I told Matt my 6 through 10, and he left. He was like, you know what? I'm out of here.
No, sorry. I was shutting my door. Hold on. My bad. So here, let me just tell you mine.
Really Dirty quick. Dancer real quick says, so many teams have 2 to 3 picks means more stashes, I think. I agree with that 1,000%. Just like OKC last year has freaking Nikola Topic. Everybody forgets that they have him stashed away. But go ahead. Continue.
So my 7 through 10 was I had Condon, Murray, Boyles, Toppin, and then to round it out, I had Jhené Brown.
I don't have Jhené Brown in my top 10.
I thought about putting Renaud there. I think the thing with Brown that I like, that I think will translate, is the shot blocking and the rebounding. Is that was like kind of like the tipping point for me. I know I know Renaud shoots the ball a lot better.
But Renaud rebounds just as well as Brown.
Well, I was just saying, like, the shot blocking, I think, for me was the tipping point.
Yeah, I know that's true. Yeah, he's a good shot. He's a very good shot blocker.
They're both exceptional rebounders.
I'm interested in his measurables because I think Broom's going to have, like, crazy long arms.
Yeah.
I think Broom's going to have crazy long arms.
And I think Brown is, a slightly, I'd say, I'd probably give him the edge on playmaking.
I guess. I mean, he's older, right? He's like 23. Yeah, he's older. So yeah.
They're both old.
They're both.
Renaud's younger.
Renaud will be 22. Broom's going to be 23. Yeah. So they're around the same age. Murray Boyles, he could be incredibly bad in the NBA.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a fit. I'm not saying he is going to be incredibly bad. I'm just saying, like, you're taking a risk. Like, if you're taking Boyles in the top 15 for whatever reason as a GM, he's 6'7", 230 pounds.
Yeah. It's just...
And he doesn't shoot the three.
This is going to have to be like a Ryan Dunn, like... You're only going to shoot threes for your first 1,000 shots when we select you.
Dude, Dirty Dancer, I like Dirty Dancer. He says, I'll pass on 6'6 centers, thank you.
It doesn't make sense, dude. It doesn't make, like...
Have you ever followed that on ball creator guy on Twitter? Seen any of his posts? He's the guy I referenced this before. He said Murray Boyles is the first guy since Zion Williamson, and he mentioned somebody else crazy that's 6'7" and got the handles the way he does. I know Boyles can handle a little bit, but he doesn't handle the ball like Zion Williamson handles the basketball. He's not giving you in and out crossovers, going to the rim and then dunking on your head.
I struggle with with Murray Boyles.
I do too.
And it's not that like I think he's a bad. It's just a tough NBA eval.
I got a good exercise we can do on the fly.
That's it.
We're gonna do the what do you call it? We're gonna do the Rob Dillingham test we did last year during the draft combine. I know we don't have Murray Boyle's arm length and hand size or any of that, but we're gonna assume he's 6'6" or taller, right? Like 6'6", 6'7". That's gonna be our assumption. What centers in last year's draft were that size? None?
Yeah, I'd say so, right?
I can't think. Maybe Adam Bonilla. He was 6'8". So Bonilla is actually taller than Colin Murray-Boyles. Well,
are you saying without shoes? Was that his measurable?
That was his measurements without shoes.
Okay, well then he's 6'10" and with shoes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Boyles is small, dude. He's like small forward small.
There's a world where, like, how old is Boyles?
20.
Sure. Okay, so there's a world where he becomes like a three-point shooter in his career. Obviously, right. He's not doing that right now. Mm-hmm. And he'll smoke our evals if that's the case. That's the swing skill. Can you shoot? And like, it wasn't the last pot that we did. It was two pots ago. I just want to see him develop some sort of in-between game first.
I agree with that.
Like, let me see you consistently take and make 15-footers, 17-footers. And like, yeah, I know that's not an efficient, like, but like, teams are going to play off you. Teams are playing off you.
Size-wise, I can compare him to Trace Jackson Davis.
I think Trace is a little bit bigger, isn't he?
He is. He was 6'8 without shoes. He's even a little bit bigger and more athletic. He's more vertically athletic.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't high on Trace either. He's proven me wrong. A lot of people have proven me wrong.
I'm having a very difficult time coming up with bigs that went through the combine that were 6'7 or smaller and had any success in the NBA.
I just
like 6'7 is like small. Horace Walker was 6'6. Jarce, what is how do you pronounce his
Jarce
name?
Walker.
Jarce Walker. Jarce Walker was 6'6 with shoes off, without shoes. That's the best comp I got is Jarce Walker. I said that off the top of my head. Remember, I said he reminds me of Jarce Walker. He's almost the same size as Jarce Walker, except for Jarce Walker was 250 pounds. Colin Boyle's 230.
And Jarce has done a good job figuring, like, he's still figuring it out. He's, like, been solid in spot minutes.
Right, but you would have never taken Walker in the top 15. Like, they're talking about Boyles being, like, a lottery pick.
What, didn't Walker go in, like, the top, like, 7? Like, is that...
I roasted that, by the way. I roasted that pick.
What? Like, it was something like that, wasn't it?
It was high. Yeah, he was taken high. Yeah. I roasted that pick. I can find out for you if you want to know.
It's just weird, man. And there's things that I like that he does.
Yeah.
The defensive playmaking, the passing.
He went 8th.
The physicality. Okay, top 8. All right. And so, like, there's stuff that I like that he does, but like if you're going to play like a big,
right?
It just, I have questions.
Correct. And because I don't think he actually handles the ball as well as Walker does. I don't. I think Walker's ball handling is better than Murray Boyle's. I'm telling you, I don't think his handle is as good as Walker's. He can handle for a big, but that's because he's 6'7". He could go to the combine and he could end up being 6'6", 6'5". Who knows? Dirty Dancer says, I have to go back to Clarence Weatherspoon and Othella Harrington for comps.
It's holy crazy.
Crap.
It's a tough eval.
It is very tough.
For an NBA, like, there's other guys on this.
But this is why I highlight Matt. Look at games where he's playing against other NBA level bigs already. And that's correct. Why the Georgetown game first time around leaves a bad taste in my mouth. The next game when Sorbert, you know, because they played, what was it, like 4 or 5 games ago they played Georgetown?
No, they're Sorbert. Not in the same conference, did they?
Yeah, well, no Sorber, and suddenly he's putting up points. You know what I mean? Like, he's producing. So, like, comparable NBA bigs in the class, and you're not producing, is a bad sign.
I wonder if he plays at the... I don't think he'll play at the Combine, now that I say that. Those are more of, like...
Especially if he's getting lottery buzz. That'd be
second
dumb.
Round. I was going to say, like, if he... Those are, like, second round guys who are trying to improve their stock, not...
Right.
Murray Boyles.
Yeah, Murray Boyles would really do himself a disservice if he competed at the Combine, because he would get exposed.
South Carolina didn't play Georgetown this year.
I'm sorry, Georgia against Asa Newell.
Oh, yeah.
My bad. My bad, bruh.
Yeah.
Oh, I was talking about Kalkbrenner versus Sorber. That's what it was. Kalkbrenner kept disappearing.
Play again? Did they play twice when both were
they
available?
Did play twice. Yeah, they did play
twice.
Go
check those out. I did not watch those.
So the first half was terrible for Boyles. And then in the second half, he went to the free throw line, like I said, 18 times. So he ended up on 24 points, made 13 of 18 from the free throw line. He also had a 3 in that game.
Kalkbrenner also, in the game that I watched recently, God, who was it against? I think it was Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's very funny when he'll decide to shoot threes. Like, he took one with, like, it was like a one possession game with like 3 minutes left and drained it. I'm just like, all right, dude. Like, you have enough gumption to take a 3 at that point when you're not a 3-point shooter and you make it? Like, all right.
Right.
Just a very funny, like,
it is
tidbit I remember. Yeah.
What was I going to say? We have some more comments here in the chat. We have Guru Sun says Kalkbrenner is the best super senior in the draft. Cam Jones would like a word.
Yeah, Cam Jones is better.
Cam Jones would like a word, Guru Sun. Steven says Charles Barkley, 6'6", last one I can remember.
Was Charles that small?
Yes. Dirty Dancer says those small centers that succeed had major burst and he doesn't. I agree. Correct. 1,000,000% with you, Dirty
Correct.
Dancer. 1,000,000%.
He doesn't have a terrible first step, but for someone who's 6'6", 6'7", right. Yeah.
It's not and there. He's not a vertical athlete at all. Charles was a super vertical athlete. Cam Jones is not a super senior. He's a regular senior. Super seniors are 5 years. Cam is 4th. All right, I don't care. Seniors.
I'm pretty sure Cam is 5, isn't he? I thought he was 5.
And I don't personally, I don't even care. But
yeah, I was going to say it's not that big of a deal.
Not that big of a deal. But we can I'll give you Kalkbrenner as the best super senior. You can have that.
Cool. Yeah, cool.
Cool. That's right. Cool. Do you classify Alex Caravan as a big?
Absolutely not.
He's a wing, right?
He's more of a guard than a big. Yes.
He's not really a guard. I think he's a
but
wing.
He's more of a like
correct. He's more of a guard. That's right.
Yeah, I think of him closer than a guard. Like, yeah, no, he's not.
Did you give Yaxel Lendenborg any consideration?
A little bit. I think at the NBA level, he can be a small ball big, but I don't.
Yeah,
I didn't classify him there. I think he's a four to me. So
the more
I don't
watch
classify.
He is more of a four. You're right about that.
I don't think of like a modern day four, just depending on the skill set. I don't think is a big, but.
Wait, did he just say Kalkbrenner's 270 pounds? There's no way that's correct.
Dude,
that's not right. That's not right. Kalkbrenner is not 270 pounds. I can assure you of that. 250, maybe. He's not 270.
He's a big man. He's mostly because of the height. Basketball Reference has him at 235.
I'm telling you, he's not 270. I can promise you that. I did look it up, Guru Son. I did look it up. He's not 270.
I would say he's closer to 250 than 270.
Yeah, there's no way he's 270. You're acting like he's Zach Edey.
But he's also like, just I think because of the height, he has more mass on him. Yeah, I don't think he's 235, but I don't think
I think he's somewhere between 245 and 250. All right, Guru Son. How about this, Guru Son? We'll table this. We'll put a pin in it, as they say. Put a pin in it. And we'll come back when they weigh him at the combine. Why would I have to look at ESPN?
What does the combine say from last year? Didn't he test?
Yeah, that's a great call out from you.
I mean, he's probably gotten stronger since then, but
250.
Okay.
251.8 to be exact.
I was going to say, like, I think he's...
He said 270. Look it up. It's on ESPN.
I don't think he's 270. 250 sounds right in my head.
It looks right as well. He's not nearly as big as Zach Edey was. Zach Edey was 299.
It's also crazy that there's a chance he'll win his fourth Big East player of the year. Or defensive player of the year.
He's freaking Van Wilder, man. He's Van Wilder.
Again, I don't love the ceiling. So, like, if you criticize me for having him six because of that part of it, fine.
Guru-san, I'm gonna mention this for the last time. I don't care what ESPN has him listed at. He's listed at the NBA Combine, who officially weighs these people, and he's 251.8. Anyway, moving on. Would you like to do shooting guards as our next podcast?
Sure.
The top 10 shooting guards you should know. I am going to do some homework between now and then on one Sergio. How do you pronounce his last name here? Sergio Dellaria. And I challenge you, Matt, to do some homework on at least one international guy.
Okay. All right. You're giving me home. I appreciate that.
At least one. You got to do at least one international guy.
The only one that I've watched a little bit of is Nolan. But it's like, It's not enough for me to
form an opinion.
Yeah.
I got it.
But that's the only one.
Well, I tell you what, guys, I appreciate all of you, even Guru Son, who we had a little bit of a disagreement with. I appreciate Steven who dropped by, Dirty Dancer, all the people that watch this or listen to it on a podcast back. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I really appreciate both of you guys. Hold on. Dirty Dancer, he says, go watch Hugo's 2 minutes of tape.
No.
Dirty Dancer, I tried to watch Hugo Gonzalez 7 different times. I turned on 7 different games and he never freaking plays.
Doesn't he play for Real? Like,
Real Madrid?
Like, really good?
They're a good club, but he gets on the floor and he's not good, so they take him back off the floor. I'm all the way out on Hugo Gonzalez.
I wonder how much of that's like just him being young and raw. I don't know. I'm projecting.
Ben Seraph's young and he's really good. I like Ben Seraph a lot. All of Hugo's teammates are ex-NBA players. Every single one. I agree with that, Guru Son.
Good guys to get tidbits from.
But also, if you're playing with better players, you should be able to fulfill that lesser role and be able to contribute. He does also not. But yeah, man, I'm excited. Matt, tell these people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work, and we'll do this again next time.
At NPH_824_, that's where you can find me at on Twitter. Still not on Blue Sky. I say that like every other show that we do. I'm still not on it, so don't. You can at me and tell me to get on Blue Sky. I don't care.
That's right. At Matt on Twitter, tell him to get on Blue Sky. Don't let him breathe a single minute of social media air without letting him know. I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on social media, including Blue Sky, Twitter, Instagram, wherever social media is found. Follow us on, if you're a Miami Heat fan, on playback.tv/5RSN on Heat basketball games. For all of your college stuff, follow us here at playback.tv/hoopsprofile and on YouTube at Hoops Profile as well. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I'll see you next time.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.